The entire text, 6:10 to 18. Follow with me. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Father, we ask for your blessings. Father, we ask for a visitation from your Spirit, O God. We pray for his presence, O Lord. I pray that you would help us in our own spirits, in our own ability to comprehend and to be attentive to the Word of God. Father, I pray that you would apply it to our hearts. Father, I pray, O God, that you would help us, O God, and that the word of God may be effectual among us that believe, and we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Well, Christians, in our study of the armor of God, I want you to always keep two supporting texts in mind. I don't want these texts to ever be eclipsed from your mind. In fact, these should be very close to your heart, actually memory verses. These two passages, go to James chapter 4. These two passages, they strongly couple with what God is teaching us in the armor of God. It's the action of you, the child of God, the soldier of Jesus Christ, when you are up armored, when you are wearing the whole armor of God. Notice James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It's not a might be, it's a declarative statement. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 1 Peter, you know the passage. 1 Peter, go to 1 Peter 5, 8. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Here the Apostle Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions that are being accomplished in you, the same afflictions, the same temptations, the same confrontations from the devil are being accomplished," it says here, "in your brethren that are in the world." So you're not the lone ranger. You're not the only one. And listen, that's one of the fiery darts that the devil wants you to believe. He wants you to believe you're the only one. There's nobody else going through this but you. You're the only one. That's why you're a loser, and that's why you're lost. Christ doesn't love you. You're not saved. He's going to tell you things like that. But notice what's coupled with these two passages: humble submission to God, and the steadfastness of our faith in Christ and in his holy word. Those are key primary factors in us resisting the devil. Humble submission to God. Humble submission to God and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Those two things which surround these two passages are key for you. So listen, every moment of your life in this present evil world, you are subject to the devil's influences and temptations. Even here. It is therefore essential that you are properly equipped for this actual spiritual conflict. You see, people have these things called reality TV. Well, this is the reality Christian life. This is it. This is real. It's not some propped up visual form of Christianity that looks all pretty. It's dirty. It's in the dirt. It's wrestling. It's the fight. It's spiritual warfare. It's where the rubber meets the road. This is the reality of the Christian life. Now, let's little review here. Remember, truth is the girdle that strengthens you. And I want you to notice what body position is the only body position that Paul talks about in Ephesians. That's important. What body position? Is he sitting? Is he kneeling? Is he on one knee? No, he's standing. He says it probably four times. So remember, truth is the girdle that strengthens you, giving you the ability to stand. Remember, the opening, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This armor, this spiritual armor, is you must have it if you would be strong in the Lord. You're not strong in the Lord and the power of his might unless you're up-armored with God. God is the armor, remember. So the girdle, and in the old Roman army, the girdle helped the soldier to stand erect and to be able to stand and fight. Now, listen, this truth, if you remember, is not static truth or unused truth or unpracticed truth or truth just laying over there on the coffee table, but it's active and operational truth. Truth believed, truth studied, truth obeyed. It's truth in the life. And so that's what this truth is. Remember, the girdle is truth. And then next, the breastplate of righteousness. Remember that righteousness is the breastplate. And this spiritual breastplate, as we learned last week, it's practical righteousness. It is your righteousness. It is your spiritual integrity that comes forth from your life and your testimony because of the righteousness of Christ that's been imputed unto you. Because he's imputed unto you his righteousness, therefore you ought to be and must be a doer of righteousness. You ought to have a spiritual integrity. Like Job. When God looked out and he told Satan, Hey, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth? He's perfect and upright, a man that feareth God and escheweth evil. Look at him. And after God allowed Satan to strip him of his flocks and of his children, and after the second time, when God allowed him to afflict him with boils and for his wife to come and say, curse God and die, and God called Satan back. Hey, come here, dog. Look at my servant. And still he holdeth fast his integrity. And so, beloved, you as a child of God, you should have that integrity of Job. And so that's the breastplate of righteousness. Remember, Satan didn't have anything to accuse. He didn't have anything to accuse Job of after his attacks against Job. Now, as we move to verse 15, Ephesians 6:15, the next piece of spiritual armor is having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, again, let's go back to the Roman soldier. What did it mean in the time of the Apostle Paul for a soldier to have his feet shod? What did that mean? Well, it meant to put on or to lace up. Listen, it's like when I would go to work every day, I had to have special boots, combat boots, steel toe boots, and you have to lace them up and you have to blouse your fatigue pants. And so for the Roman soldiers, it meant to lace up their shoes, put on their footwear, which it was designed for the protection of their feet in battle. Think about a soldier with cut up feet, injured feet. See, soldiers needed to be shod or equipped for the protection of specifically the underside of their feet. And they had greaves also, which covered the fronts of their legs and actually covered the tops of their feet. And so their feet needed to be protected so that they would not be injured, pierced, stabbed, cut on the bottom of their feet. What good is a soldier with injured feet? Think about it. I mean, you get your foot cut up. You can't march. You can't fight. You can't dig in. You can't stand firm. You can't hold your ground against the enemy. If you could have everything else. Look, you could have the breastplate on. You could have the girdle of truth, the helmet of salvation. You could have your shield. Yeah, you got a broken foot. You got problems. You got problems. You can't march. You're no good. I mean, you're a liability. They're going to leave you on the side. It is believed that some Roman soldiers wore footwear and shoes with studded bottoms. What we would know today as cleats. Cleated shoes to help them dig into the dirt and not be pushed back. Designed for that reason. To hold their ground, to offer resistance when being pushed back by the enemy. Now, in application, Christian, understand that if you would offer effective resistance against your adversary, the devil, you must stand every day on every ground with prepared feet, shod and protected by the gospel of peace. You must stand on the sure footing of the gospel. Listen, every piece of the armor of God is designed to keep you strong and standing. You notice that in the text. Every piece of armor is designed to keep you upright, standing, not to get knocked down. To trust in God's armor is to trust in God's strength. This piece is no different, the shodding of the feet. We are able to stand because of every piece of God's armor, not just one piece. You can't just have one piece on. Paul says twice. He says, first, put on the whole armor of God. And in verse 13, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God. We need to take it all. So every piece is critically important. In fact, in verse 14, just to show you, stand, and we don't think about it here because in verse 15, the word stand's not there, but it's implied. If you go back, look at Ephesians 6 and verse 14, he says, after he says, and having done all, to stand, he says, stand therefore, the first piece is having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. It's implied in verse 15. And stand, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so stand is there. So this piece is the gospel of peace. That's this piece of armor. So here's a question for you. And here's where I think we need to make a distinction. Does this mean that I must be a preacher of the gospel to have feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace? Because, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, does it mean that you have to be a preacher? Well, look, go to Romans 10:15. Let's look at a few other passages. Look at Romans 10:15. 10:14 says, of course, he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So he's talking about a preacher. And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? And this is from Isaiah and the prophet Nahum. Nahum 1:15 says this very similarly. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In fact, look at Isaiah 52:7. We'll just look at that reference. You can look at Nahum later. But Isaiah 52:7. Here the prophet writes, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Nahum 1:15 is very similar to both of those passages. But what's the emphasis of these passages? The emphasis in both is not on spiritual warfare and resistance against our adversary, the devil. But the emphasis is on the beautiful feet of the preachers who bring glad tidings of the gospel to both lost and saved souls. It's the beautiful feet of the preacher that brings the glad tidings. So there's a distinction here from what Paul is speaking of in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15. Think about it. God's messengers bring tidings of the cross of Christ. They bring tidings of reconciliation with God, forgiveness from the dominion and power of sin, deliverance from the God of this world, and eternal life in the presence of Christ for all eternity. That's beautiful feet. That's beautiful feet, not battle feet. Now, there is a clear distinction between beautiful feet and feet prepared and laced up for battle, resistance, and warfare. Now, herein lies two different missions. Again, the preacher carries the good news of the gospel of peace to lost and saved souls, but every Christian, yes, including the preacher, is a soldier of Jesus Christ and must have his or her feet prepared to stand firm in the gospel of peace. And what I believe Paul is saying here when he says, have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you have to be firmly fixed upon the gospel of Christ in your heart and soul if you would resist the devil. 1 Corinthians, let me show you. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll look at a few other passages. Listen, you are a target for your adversary if you're not rooted and grounded and standing upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must have your feet shod. Be ready with the gospel. Be shod. Be prepared. Be on the firm footing of the gospel of peace. 1 Corinthians 15, notice verse 1. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received. The next three words are very important. And wherein ye stand. Wherein ye stand. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. If, when you look back, he says, by which ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you. And what that means is, if you hold fast to the gospel of Christ. You need to be able to hold on that. You need to be strong in the gospel of Christ. You need to have sure footing upon Christ, beloved. That's so very important. And if you're not, Satan knows it. Your heart, Christian, must be resolved. You must be equipped with the truth so that you are sure-footed. Sure-footed standing on the gospel of peace. You need to be able to stand and hold your ground in the gospel in spiritual battle against your adversary, the devil. And so that's what I believe Paul's talking about when he says having your feet shod, prepared, ready with the gospel of peace. Back up to Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 1. Romans 5 and verse 1. Paul says here, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's the gospel of peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We stand upon this gospel. That's the battle soldier standing upon the truth of the gospel of peace. Colossians 1:21. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Paul here says to the Colossians, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." That's that good news. "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight if you continue in the faith grounded and settled." It means stable, standing, and steadfast. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And so, beloved, you need to be grounded. You need to be settled. You need to be like standing firmly on that gospel of peace. Look at 2:6 of the same book, Colossians 2:6. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Notice, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And it's so important. Look, verse 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. To spoil you is to corrupt your faith. This is where Jamie was last Sunday. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." And so, beloved, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, standing on that sure footing of the gospel. 2 Peter 3:17. 2 Peter 3:17. Paul says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things," and of course the entire chapter is about the return of Christ, "seeing that you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." How do you fall from your own steadfastness? Unshod feet, not sure-footed on the gospel of Christ. Beloved, we need to be sure-footed. He says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." So listen, don't forget, as we close, that every piece of the armor enables you to be strengthened by faith in God and to stand in the evil day. You don't just leave and go out with the shield of faith and no armor. You need it all. The girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. You need your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And then finally, all prayer. Beloved, we need it all. This is so very important because, as we read at the opening, we have an adversary. Let me rewind. You have an adversary. And you can tell me the same thing, because we all do. And listen, we've said this before, I'll say it again. We must know our enemy. But more than that, we must know the armor that God has provided for us. It is spiritual armor. Remember what it is. It's truth. It's righteousness. It's practical righteousness. It's integrity. It's the gospel of peace. It's our faith in Christ. It's our salvation. It's prayer unto our God. Beloved, we need to have it. And, of course, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So consider each piece of the armor of God that we have learned about so far. Think about it. It's active, operational, and lived truth. Active and operational truth. Believe truth. Obey truth. Next, it's practical righteousness, which you possess because you have the righteousness of Christ. And then tonight, it's your sure footing on the gospel of peace. It's like lacing up. Listen, when I walk out sometimes and I'm going to close the chickens up, or if I forget something in my car, sometimes I walk out barefooted and I walk on those rocks and it's like, ooh, can't do it. Beloved, we need sure footing, especially in the spiritual conflict that every one of us are in. Listen, many of you perhaps never served in the military. Well, you're in God's army, and he's got armor for you to be up armored, for you to be equipped and ready for this fight. So tonight we need to be sure footed in the gospel of peace. And then, beloved, you can hold your ground. You can hold your ground. But we need to have the whole armor of God by faith. Believe the truth of God's word and walk in it. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, thank you for this passage in the word of God. It's been so helpful for me, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to be wise, Father, but help us also to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we would take unto us the whole armor of God, that we would walk by faith every single day of our lives, on every ground, Father. May we not think that there's any place that we might be in this present evil world where we're outside of the reach of the wicked one to get into our heads and our thoughts and to shoot fiery darts. But Father, with that thought also, we can commune with thee, and we're never more than a whisper away from your throne of grace for help, that we might be strong in the Lord. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to be obedient to your holy word, Father. Help us to magnify your great name. And Father, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we'll give you the praise. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.